What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the show. My name is Adam. I am your host. So on today's episode, I'm going to be talking about a take that I put out on Twitter and Instagram the other day that I think I am changing my opinion on a little bit when it comes to how I think that new people are going to come into the hobby. And specifically, I'm talking about sports bettors. The concepts and stuff that I've been talking about in the past, or the past about how I thought sports bettors are going to be, they're going to be a big sector of people who come into sports cards who are looking for a similar outlet the way that they do with sports gambling. I thought they were going to get into the investing side of sports cards, and I've sort of changed my thought process or my opinion on where I think the sports gambling people are going to gravitate towards. And I always thought that everybody was just going to come in and they were going to be, whether these are fantasy sports people, whether these are sports gambling people, and they were going to come in and they were just going to be buying cards. And I think they will do that. But I think also that they're going to be gravitating more towards breaking than they will just straight up just buying cards. Because I think the buying cards aspect is definitely going to be closer into the fantasy sports avenue, where the sports gamblers, they're going to be headed towards breaks because of the transactional nature of gambling and breaks. Because with gambling, most of the time, you're doing it right from your phone. You're clicking into your bet, and you're saying whether you're using DraftKings or you're using the Barstool app, or you have an offshore something, or you have like somebody that you know that's doing this or whatever. You're putting in your bet for the game, and then the game is over in 2-3 hours, and you know whether you won or lost. And I think that transactional nature of that is going to lead towards more people breaking, because the transaction is almost the same, because and I'll get into some of the differences in a minute, but the whole point is that the transaction of buying into a break is the same as it is putting in a bet. Now, the main difference, I think, is going to be obviously that with betting, that does require a little bit more skill. And if you are if you have a lot of success long term, it is definitely going to require you to understand the sports and stuff a lot more than you would with something like breaking, where breaking is much more just kind of some random. And so card hour, they hit me up because I put this out on Twitter first, and then I posted the tweet on Instagram. So card hour hit me up, and that was one of their main points of why they don't exactly think it's a one-to-one comparison. And I don't think there isn't, I think that is a thing for sure. Like, there isn't going to be one-to-one comparisons for anything when it comes to if someone's coming from a different industry to a new industry. I'm just looking at it from maybe a consumer standpoint, where somebody says they want to put in, let's just hypothetically say they want to bet on the Patriots, or they bet on the Patriots or something like that. And I think the Patriots, I don't know if they play this week, and I don't know what the line would be, but let's just say they're playing the Dolphins, and the line is, I don't know, Dolphins -2 or whatever, and the Patriots +2. So the transactional nature of saying, I want to take the Patriots +2, and then you have your money and you watch the game, and then after the game, either you know you won or lost. The transactional nature of that with a break is very similar, where somebody says, I want to buy into a break. And I think for most sports bettors, I think realistically, for people who are in it very seriously, you're probably looking at between like a $50 and $100 per bet. Like for me, it's a lot lower than that. I enjoy betting more than I do winning, I guess, if that makes sense. Like, obviously I enjoy winning, and that's not to say I don't enjoy that, but like I enjoy putting in bets a lot, so that's why, like, if I'm doing that on a Saturday or a Sunday, I'll want to put in 5 or 6. So I'm not going to put in $50 or $100 on one bet. Like, I'll put And, you know, sometimes it's $10, sometimes it's $5, sometimes it's even less than that. So that's just kind of my thought process. But and I understand that, like, if you are buying into a break, most likely you're spending between 20 and 50, depending if you're buying into, like, a break with, like, base cards, like an Optic or, like, Mosaic is another example. If you're buying into a higher-end break, obviously that's kind of a scenario where, like, if you're putting $1,000 on a game, you can put $1,000 into a break and... You know, you probably, you there's a chance that you, like, and then this is the other thing. There's a chance that you make all your money back. There's a chance that you make more than your money. There's a chance that you lose money. But, like, the thing that I think sports bettors will like is going to be the fact that you can make your money back. You can, if you win the bet, you, for a break at least, if you win, if you get, like, a good team and then you get, like, a some sort of parallel or you get, like, some sort of autograph or, like, a patch card, most likely if you spent $20, $30, you'll get a card potentially that's worth that $20 or $30 because if you do, like, a random team break and you do, like, an Optic from this year specifically too, from an Optic or Mosaic, and you get a Zion or a Ja, like, you basically made all your money back. And so I understand that there is going to be some pretty big differences between having the edge and knowing what you're doing and then with a break kind of it being random at times. But it also is a, it's just because it's very similar with a bet where you pay for the break and then you watch the break and then you know what cards you got and you know whether you won or lost in with quotation marks. Cause I don't know if there's a winning and losing within breaking. I guess it's different for everybody. It's not like sports betting where you either won the game or you lost the game and that's the end of it. So, and then you get the cards. So that's kind of another thing where I think that, like, if you're somebody who spends $50 to $100 on betting on a game, if you spend $50 to $100 in a break, like, there's a chance that you could get, if you, or you could even buy multiple spots. And I mean, maybe that's kind of where you look at percentages and you look at how many what's the best percentage? Obviously, the more, the better. But, like, if you're not trying to break the bank, like, what's the best percentage that you'll be able to get a card that's going to be worth what you paid for the break? And I think the main difference is that once the break happens, it's over. But with sports, when you're buying cards, that's not necessarily the end of it. Because then you have to either sell the card or you hold the card or whatever. But I just think the transaction of a sports bet versus a sports card break, I think, is where the sports gamblers are going to mesh more. And I think that the fantasy sports and the sports card investing people, that's where they're going to mesh. And I think it's going to be, I think people will dabble in both the same way that, like, the same way that somebody does fantasy sports and then they do daily fantasy and then they do betting. It's the same kind of concepts there. But I see more people doing it that way. And I guess there isn't really a call to action of this one, like what you can do. I mean, it's more just like stuff that I'm recognizing and how I see what could happen in the future to, you know, either breaks or I don't know if, like, I mean, I almost think that it will lead to a breaks being like somehow some product being cheaper and coming out and the product being like a card. Like, I understand, like, National Treasures is, there's a couple cards in there, and I'm sure there's products that, like, that only have one card in them, but I'm talking about, like, a product that is a little bit less expensive. So I guess it's actually, I think, now that I'm thinking about it, I think there is an Optic product that's like that. I forget the name of it. Hold on. Optic T-Mall is the name of the product, and it's a six-card box that I believe it, I'm trying to zoom in here. It has on-card autographs. So with six cards per box, I don't think you're really getting into... So I'm just trying to figure this one out. So it's 10... So 400... I'm looking at... So Pullwax is an account that does, like, some of these... Some breaks like this. and he has a break up that's a 10 box contender team all break. Three random teams, $400 per spot. So that comes out to, let's just say, roughly $40 a box. So I think that would be, I guess you'd have to look at it and say, if you're doing that, you'd say four, like, cause the other problem is that you, with these types of products is that it may even be just like a personal break, I think would be one example of this type of concept where you pay someone to open a box for you and then they send you the cards. And if you did well and it's sometimes it's retail stuff, sometimes it's higher end stuff, kind of depending on the breaker, but I look at it that way. And in theory, so you get three random team spots in this break, and there's 10 boxes and 400, so it's $40 essentially for one box. And with the 30 teams, that means that there's 10 essentially. I think that's essentially what this means. So yeah, 10 spots. So if 10 different people are buying a $40, well, so actually no, because that's not necessarily correct. It's $40 per box per person. So technically, it's $400 a box, I guess, if you look at it that way. So the thing that I'm kind of talking about is like if there was like an optic or some sort of product that was just, maybe it was just parallels, maybe it was a base product with just parallel cards. And they were all numbered, and the box itself, like you could buy a box for $50 to $60 and then somebody opens it or somebody, you watch it on stream or something like that. And you would watch the stream to watch the person open it. So, I mean, there definitely would be more kinks that would have to be worked out of this type of concept, very similar to the type of kinks like with just talking about kind of random stuff. And I guess there's been a lot of hypothesis on the last week's worth of episodes of things that I think could make the hobby better. And I do think that this concept with sports gamblers getting into breaks is one way that I think could make the hobby better in a way. And I just think that, I guess you don't want more products, I guess. That's one way to think about it. Like, if they were to do products that were strictly for breakers, and they were to work with like DraftKings or like one of these large sports books, and it was a breaker exclusive product, like if they came out with like four or five products throughout the year that were not like Prism, not Optic. They were new products that were, or they take a product and they make it a breaker exclusive. And I know there's a big argument between the community with like people who want products in shops versus the people who think breakers get too much product. And I think I wouldn't change the distribution of anything. I would just say these six products are exclusive to people in breaks. And it's another kind of thing where you might have to figure out a way to market it a little bit differently, because what I think sells out breaks is the fact that it's a like Optic or Prism, and it's these products are what is selling out the breaks, not necessarily a break, if that makes sense. And I think that if they were to, they'd have to figure out a way to make these products as important as some of the other products in the lineup. And maybe that means they take out some of the other products. Maybe that means they alter the print run. I don't know exactly what they would have to do. And this is sort of another brainstorming session here with the concepts of the hobby. So I don't know exactly what they would do to market these products. I don't know exactly I think even if they didn't label them as hobby exclusive. No, you know what I think they would have to do? I think they would have to take three existing products and then market either, well, so it would have to be half and half. So it'd be either three or two or however many they choose, it'd be maybe one or one. They'd have to take a product that's already in existence, that's popular, and make that a breaker exclusive product, and then also kind of maybe create a new product that's Breaker exclusive, and that it, either one or two or three, but it would be half and half. So the new Breaker exclusive line itself is something that, you know, they could even say, they could even change it some years. They could say this year it's going to be Hoops Premium will just be for, will just be a Breaker product, or they say clearly Donruss will just be a Breaker product. But it has to be, in my opinion, for the crowd of the sports gambling people, it has to be, they have to figure out how to make it so there's less work on the back end to sell the cards, which, I mean, if you're DraftKings or you're FanDuel or you're any of these, like I said, large sports gambling sports books, you could probably make do something where you can it would have to be something where you could cash out the card. You could sell them, they would buy the card back from you, and then they sell the card for whatever. And I guess it's that's another kind of concept that would have to be worked out a little bit. I'm not sure how they would do it, if they would, like, because I've talked about how I think that a marketplace like a StarStock or a ComC or like one of these larger alternative marketplaces to eBay could be bought by one of these large casinos, and then that's just like some sort of, they turn it into like almost like a card shop at a casino, where maybe they, and I think you would have to maybe potentially reduce the amount of cards. So maybe it would have to be like how StarStock only does rookie cards. Maybe you'd have to do it like that. But then at the same time, see, then this is where, because maybe you do an only rookie product too. That could be another scenario where you're only getting rookies. And it's, these are all along the way, if hypothetically these ever became real, I think these would be some of the things they'd have to kind of work out a little bit, would be like how they would, what type of product it would be, essentially. Like, and I think if one of the casinos were to buy one of these large platforms that has the infrastructure to list the cards, or I don't know. I mean, it, realistically, like one of these sports books or these casinos have enough, I think they have enough resources where they could just build one on their own, and they could just do breaks in the casino. You could, you could open a box at the casino, and then you could either, it's the same with like the chips. Like maybe, you know, maybe you get like a $50 chip gets you a box of, hypothetically, gets you a box of, gets you a blaster box of like Optic or something like that. And then if you get any of the cards, you can just return it. And then they have a scanner, they put the, they scan the card. It looks up a bunch of different places, or it looks up on their marketplace. It could even just be that, like, cause then you give the people the option. It's like, well, do you want to give the cards back and cash out, or do you want to take the cards and sell them yourself? And that's, I think that's an option, but I think it would be a way where they scan the card into the system or something, and they scan the card into the system, and then it gives you a price. Let's say it's a, you bought a hobby or a blaster box of Optic, and in the box you got a Jaw, you got a Kobe White, you got, and then a bunch of other random inserts or whatever. They scan all the cards and they say, we'll buy all the cards back for X amount. And you can either then take the cash, or you can take another chip. And if you wanted to, you may even be able to buy another box and keep kind of rolling it in. So, and I don't know, and I think that that's a little bit different. I guess that would be more of an in-person experience than the sports gambling, like on your phone or on the computer, stuff like that. So, I think these are all kind of concepts that I think would be really cool for the hobby, and I think some that we could see in the future, depending on kind of depending on who, if someone wants to do something like that. And I guess you would have to market it in a way, but I think it's realistic. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's just my opinion. Maybe it's because I'm optimistic about where I think the hobby can go, but I think that these are some realistic options to get people into the hobby that aren't in it right now, and get them in on products that are different than what is in the hobby right now. I think that last point makes sense there. And that's all I've got for today's episode. So I want to thank you all for listening. Go follow on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Reddit. If you want to leave a review on iTunes, that'd be phenomenal. Thank you very much. I will see everyone in the next episode.